The following sermon was preached Lord's Day afternoon by Pastor Gary McNamee. For more resources like these audio sermons and other Reformation-era study helps, please visit our website at gracerpcna.org. Now listen in as we continue our study through Psalms, seeing Christ, the loving kindness of God, producing fruit in your life.
Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, a psalm of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, we do ask now, Lord, that you would use the means of grace to the preaching of your word and the work of your Holy Spirit in our life to change us, Lord, to strengthen us where we are weak, to encourage us where we have doubts, and to, Lord, enable us to live a holy life before your face. Lord, we do not want to be those people who read and sing and hear your word only to remain the same. So, Lord, we ask that you would change us, make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ, each day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When you first read Psalm 26, it may appear that David is very full of himself, claiming to be loyal, faithful, holy, innocent, truthful, and confident. And this may be one of those psalms that as you pick it up to sing, you find hard to repeat these kind of words. And you may be saying to yourself, how can I sing these words? How can I say these things about me? Are they speaking about me? Are they speaking about a human being who could actually say these things? Or maybe you're saying to yourself, as many of the Psalms are, this must be speaking of Christ again, because even David was a terrible sinner. How could David say these things about David? And you might be right on all those accounts if you only focused on the things that David said he had done and what he has set out to do. And oftentimes when we see these words, they do get our attention and they cause us to focus on them. But I want you to see a verse in here, and I think it is the key verse to this chapter, to this psalm, and that is verse 3. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. So I want you to see this afternoon that all that David is saying that he has done and what he will do is based on what he has seen in the dealings of the Lord with him. There is a direct cause and effect relationship here in Psalm 26, and it is because that David has seen the loving kindness of the Lord, because he has experienced it, he can say it has changed my life. And I would say to you that if you have experienced the loving kindness of the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ saving your soul, that you too can say, it has changed my life. And in fact, if it has not changed your life, then you have not experienced the loving kindness of the Lord. David is saying, it has changed my life so much, even when I have enemies who are against me, even when they may be speaking falsely and misusing me, that I can still walk in the Lord's truth. And that's what he's claiming. That's what he's claiming. This is where we find him. He is under pressure for some reason. He is under attack of the enemy, as we see here in verse 1, "Vindicate me, O Lord." In other words, stand up for me. Declare my rightness before these people as I walk in your truth. And this is a truth that is true about all those to whom the Lord has shown his loving kindness in Christ Jesus. Psalm 26 speaks of Christ. It does speak of Christ in the sense that it is through Christ that God produces disciples and followers of him that can say and hold to and practice what David is claiming here. Yes, we can sing this psalm. We can pray this psalm because God is doing a work in our life. Just as we talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5 last Wednesday night during our Bible study and prayer meeting, God is doing a sanctifying work in our life. When God demonstrates his loving kindness in Christ, he makes new creatures. He makes new men, women, boys, and girls. And that's what's happening here. David is not claiming his own self-worth and his own meritorious works as to why he is doing these things and why he has done them. He is saying it is because the Lord's loving kindness is before my eyes. What David is saying is that when God works in a person's life, it changes you. It changes how you live. It changes how you relate to other people. It changes how you relate to the wicked. It changes how you think about eternity. And these are the things that David is talking about. You see, when God works, he produces good fruit. God does not fail in his work in your life. He had not failed in his work in David's life. And so even when David is under fire here, he is declaring how he has responded and why he has responded in such a way. And this is the fruit of God's good works in your life. God's loving kindness produces a faithfulness to him that is unmistakable, even under fire. And this loving kindness we have experienced, this loving kindness of God we have experienced in Christ Jesus. And let me say to you that the work of God does produce the intended fruit. He will do it. And that's what David is saying here to us today, that because of God's loving kindness, he is able to walk in such a way. So as we see David claiming these things, it is all the result of seeing God's loving kindness before his face. So we're going to look at three aspects of that loving kindness, and that is that God's loving kindness in Christ produces the fruit of a faithful life, even in trying times. God's loving kindness in Christ also produces the fruit of a holy life. And God's loving kindness in Christ produces the fruit of a peaceful and assured life. And these are the things that God's loving kindness will produce in you as well, because it is what he desires to do. And it will reveal itself when it's under fire and in trials. And this is what David is talking to us about in this psalm. So in verses 1 to see, we see God's loving kindness in Christ producing a faithful life in trying times. We see here in verse 1 that David is calling out to God to vindicate him. David is asking God to evaluate his actions in the face of his adversity. And we know that David is not claiming sinless perfection here, but he's asking God still to judge his actions. And we know this because even in verse 11, David says, "Redeem me and be merciful to me." He's not claiming that I have arrived and I'm doing all these things and I am perfect and sinless. But he is still asking God to judge his actions. He does not care what man is saying about him. His care is what the Lord thinks of him and his actions. And so he declares, and this is where it gets hard for us, he declares that he is walking in his integrity. He is trusting in the Lord. He's sure he's not going to slip. He is walking in truth. Basically, he is declaring that even in the midst of adversity and opposition of enemies, I am being faithful to the Lord. Not perfectly and not sinlessly, but he is walking in faithfulness. He is seeking to do what is right in the Lord's eyes. Now, can we say that? Is God working that way in us? Is he working to bring those things about us? I understand the hesitancy to say things like that. But one thing we need to realize is that to be too hesitant to say that is almost to say that, well, yes, God has saved me. He has redeemed me. He has given me his Holy Spirit. He has given me all the power that I need to walk a holy life before him. But I can't really say that I'm doing it. And so it's really to speak almost as if God has failed to do what he has set out to do in our life. And that would be true if we claim these things for ourselves in and of our own strength. But we notice here in verse 3 that David says, "For your loving kindness is before my eyes." David is simply declaring that he is seeking to be a faithful person. And faithful to what? To the Lord. As he walks in his integrity and he seeks to do what is right, he says in verse 1, "I have also trusted in the Lord." What's he trusting the Lord for? It's not said here exactly at this point what he is trusting in the Lord, but we know that he is being accused or opposed on some level because he's asking the Lord to vindicate him, to prove that what he is doing is right. He is confident in the Lord that he will not slip. I shall not slip. Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord, not myself. To be trusting in the Lord is to be trusting in his promises, his word, and his care for you. And so we can say that as we are trusting in the Lord and as we are walking in obedience, that it is because of the Lord's loving kindness, because of what the Lord has done for us in his loving kindness. David is not only asking God to judge his actions, but to judge his faith by his actions. Again, we might be sometimes hesitant to make this declaration to the God who sees everything about us. But really what David is doing is giving praise to God for this transformational work in his life. That having seen the loving kindness of God, God has brought about these changes in his life. And David is saying, "Lord, check out your work. Look at the work that you have done in my life." And this is what James was saying in James 2, verses 14 to 26, particular verse 18. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" What James is saying and what David is saying, that he has seen the loving kindness of God, and it has made a difference in how he lives, even under fire. And he calls on the Lord to check him out, to see if what he's not saying, if what he's saying is not true. You see, when God has worked faith in your life, you will be a changed person. And that will be happening on a regular basis when God is working in your life. You will be one who is walking in truth and is producing fruit, the fruit of a changed life that is trusting in God and walking in obedience. David's confidence is not in himself. but is in the Lord. Verse 2, he says, examine me, Lord. Prove me. Try my mind and heart. Again, this is something we might be hesitant to do because we know that the Lord sees everything. The life that David is living by faith is a work of the Lord. And we might also say that if we cannot say this, then this should be our prayer rather than our declaration. It should be our prayer to say things like, Lord, help me walk in integrity. Help me to trust you. Help me to walk in your truth. So we have to decide which side of the coin are we on. Are we walking in integrity? Are we walking in truth? Are we being obedient in trusting the Lord? And if we are, even with our imperfections, we can cry out to the Lord and say, check this out. Not check me out, but check your work out, Lord. Examine your work and prove it and test it to see if these things are true. David is simply calling out to the Lord and saying, because of your loving kindness, these are the things that are happening in my life. So he calls on God to evaluate him and to evaluate the work of God. Is God working in your life? And what are the evidences of it? This is not something you should just say flippantly and say, well, because David said it, I will say it. This is the testimony, the true testimony of a man relating to the Lord and calling out to him and declaring the works that he has done in David. Because David knows that when God works, God gets results. And so we should be looking at our own life. And one of the things we should be saying to the Lord is to examine me to see if there is fruit of your work in my life. Not just to say, well, David said it, I'll say it, and that settles it. But to look at this as a challenge to my own life, to your life, and ask the Lord to see if there is that fruit that is there, to see the fruit of his works. David tells us in verse 3, the loving kindness of the Lord is before his eyes. It is right in front of his face. It is so clear to him because he has experienced it. He's not saying, I've just seen it in other people. I have experienced the loving kindness of God and God's faithfulness to me, to give him forgiveness, to give him protection, to be merciful to him. David knows the Lord of the covenant of grace. It has changed his life. It has made him one who walks in truth. It may sound at first glance like arrogance, but it's not. It's simply acknowledging, Lord, look what you have done. This changed life is because of your loving kindness. His confidence is in the work of the Lord, not himself. And he is declaring that God has brought fruit in his life. And he's willing to have it inspected. This is a great challenge to us. It may not be true of each one of us at this moment. But it is a challenge, if it's not, to seek the Lord and to have it be true in our lives. Secondly, we see that God's loving kindness in Christ produces the fruit of a holy life. And also make no mistake about that. That what God is seeking to produce in your life is holiness. It is holiness. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we are to be holy because God is holy. And the work that God does is holy work. And so would you not expect that if a gardener were planting an apple tree, that you would expect a tree to bear fruit that are apples? And so it is with the holy God who is doing a work. And it's a holy work. You're going to expect the fruit to be holy fruit. And that's what God expects out of his work in our life. And holiness here is displayed in two ways in verses 4 through 5. It is displayed in being separated from wickedness. Look at verses 4 and 5. After David says, because of your loving kindness, I have walked in your truth. He says, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Twice David says here, and he's using this style of parallelism, he says, I have not and I will not. I have not sat with idolaters, and I will not go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of the evildoer, and I will not sit with the wicked. And this is part of holy living. This is part of holy conduct, that we separate ourselves from wickedness and evildoers. And you notice some of the language here is talking about worship. It's talking about idolatry. He says, I have not sat with idolaters. I will not go in with hypocrites. What's he talking about? Going in with hypocrites. He's talking about going in to worship. I have hated the assembly of the evildoers, where they get together to worship idols. And I will not sit with the wicked, because idolatry is wicked. And David was not going to be a part of that. This is part of holy living. The Bible calls us to separate ourselves from evildoers and evil worshipers, from those living in wickedness. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1, we are told these words. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is what King David is saying. The promises I have from God, His loving kindness in His covenant of grace through Jesus Christ, cause me not to sit with, not to go with, not to join in with the evildoers, but to be separate from them. And because I have seen the loving kindness of God, this is what I will do. Because David almost asks the same question as Paul writes, how can that which has seen the loving kindness of God join in with wickedness? If you are a child of God, you have been separated from the things of this world by God. But you are also to be separating yourself from those things by your conduct. Now you might ask, and you should if you're paying close attention, if we separate from all the evildoers, how shall we be salt and light in a dark world? And didn't Jesus Christ eat with sinners? Well, the answer to those questions is yes. But this was all for the purpose of calling sinners to repentance. We are to be salt and light so that the lost can see God's glory, repent, and be saved. It is for these reasons that we do talk with the wicked, that we do relate to the wicked, that we don't separate ourselves from them as a person, so to speak, but we do from their evil deeds and their evil works and their evil worship. In order to relate to them, we don't have to act like them, or worship with them, or worship what they worship. That is one side of holiness, separating yourself from the wicked and wickedness. The other side is attaching to yourself to that which is holy, which is what we see in verses 6 to 8. These are the double sides of that coin of holiness. Separate yourself from the wicked, attach yourself to what is holy. And in verses 6 to 8, we see David doing this. He says, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Verses 4 and 5 are a contrast to verses 6, 7, and 8. where on the one hand he's talking about the evildoers and wicked worship. On the other hand, he's talking about holy worship in the house of God. David in verse 6 is speaking of the worship rites in the temple where the priest washes his hands before he does his work around the altar. This reminds us again that David is not thinking he is sinless. He is appealing. He is saying, I go to the altar being represented by the priest because my sins need to be washed. I need to be washed of my sins. David says, that's where I go because I am trusting in the Lord. It is because he knows he is a sinner and he knows he needs redemption and he loves this house because in this house is shown loving kindness. In the sacrifices of the altar are found the loving kindness of the Lord. And David says, I love that because I need that. Though I am walking in truth, though I am walking in my integrity, I am still in need of a Savior. And then so it is with you. Though you are a sinner, you can and should be, by God's grace and power, walking in truth, loving holiness, and hating wickedness. Having received the forgiveness of God based on a better sacrifice to come in Jesus Christ, the true loving kindness of the Lord, it causes David here to be thankful. As we spoke about this morning, verse 7, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. As he is showing us and talking to us about the sacrifices, he's talking about the wondrous works of God to redeem sinners like us. This is what he's going to tell people. This is his voice of thanksgiving. This is holiness. Coming to the place where God had called him to worship and loving God's house where sinners are forgiven. And when you experience the loving kindness of God like David had, the fruit of that work will be holiness. It will be worship. It will be thanksgiving. It will be singing with your heart, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It will be to speak to others of God's wondrous works. And that is what we do when we come to worship God. That is what we do every Lord's Day. We come with thanksgiving. We come with repentance. And we come with joy to speak to one another of the Lord's loving kindness. When we sing the Psalms, what are we singing about? But the Lord's loving kindness to us. Recalling that loving kindness. Recalling those wondrous works that He has done. And being thankful for the fruit that he is producing because of it. You see, a person who has seen, who has experienced the loving kindness of the Lord in Christ Jesus, that person will not have to be begged or pleaded with to come to worship the Lord. The Lord is working holiness in his life. That person can say with David, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. And where does the glory of the Lord dwell? In His temple. And who is His temple? His people, the body of Christ. And those who are in the body of Christ are going to love that dwelling place. They're going to love the holiness of that dwelling place because that is where the Lord is. And David is saying, I love to be there. That's his testimony. Is it your testimony? Do you love to be in the house of the Lord? I don't mean this building, but I mean in the dwelling place of the Lord. Do you love to be with God's people, worshiping God with God's people? This is David's testimony. And he's saying, it's because I have seen the loving kindness of the Lord. It is before my eyes, and it has changed my life. So we should be either speaking like David and acknowledging the fruit of the Lord's loving kindness, or be praying that the Lord would do this. And so I would ask you, is this your testimony? Is it in you? Is the loving kindness of the Lord in you through the Lord Jesus Christ? So separated is David's life from wickedness and unto holiness that he expects God to judge him this way. He doesn't expect to be judged with sinners. He expects God to judge him in life and in death in accordance with the fruit that God is working in his life. And this gives him assurance and peace. And that's what we see here in verses 9 to 12. God's loving kindness in Christ produces the fruit of a peaceful and assured life. In verse 9, David is calling for God to separate him from sinners, to not judge him like he's going to judge sinners, but to show him this loving kindness. Because of God's love in Christ for David, David has lived a life of faithfulness and holiness. He did not expect to be judged with the wicked because he knew the work that God was doing. There is peace in that. There is peace in knowing that you will not be judged with wicked sinners because of the loving kindness of God. You notice in verse 11, like I said, he says, "But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me." Again, he is not claiming self-righteousness. He's not claiming self-strength or meritorious works. He's saying that as a result of the loving kindness of God in my life, I do not expect to be judged with the wicked. I expect to be judged with the righteous because that's who I am in Christ Jesus. David was walking with God in truth. His life had been changed by the loving kindness of God, and yet he needed a redeemer. And so that's who we are. We are people who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and yet we are sinners. And yet, by the power of God and by the power of His Spirit in us, we can walk in our integrity. We can walk in truth, and we can expect God to not judge us with sinners, but to redeem us and be merciful to us. And that brings the fruit of peace. Why do we not fear death? Because we know that after death, we will be with the Lord forever. There is peace in knowing that God will not judge you with the wicked as sinners, but as one of His children belonging to Him. And verse 12 speaks of His assurance, saying, "My foot stands in an even place." You notice that David did not say, "I have put my foot on even ground." No, he is saying here, "My foot stands in an even place." It's an indicative statement that he's saying, this is the result of what God is doing in my life. I'm not on shaky ground. My feet are on solid ground. I am trusting in God who is trustworthy because I have seen His loving kindness. And it is working a faithful and holy life in me that is causing me to have peace and assurance. Can you say that about your own life? And again, please remember, we're not talking about perfection here. We are talking about a life that is driven by holiness, a life that is driven to be faithful, not because of who we are, but because of what God has done in us through Jesus Christ. So we're getting ready to sing this song. If you are walking in truth, if you are trusting in the Lord, you can have that assurance and peace that David is talking about here. So as it says here in verse 12, "My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord." That's what we do here when we meet together. We come together as a congregation and we bless the Lord. We give Him thanks for all that He is doing. We trust in Him, knowing that our foot will not slip. And so with humility, knowing that we are sinners, we can sing Psalm 26, knowing that the Lord has shown us His loving kindness through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our foot will not slip. We can sing and pray Psalm 26. If you know the love of the Lord through Jesus Christ, you also know that He is working in your life, and His work produces fruit. Not everything that I do, not everything that you do produces something. But I promise you, everything that God does produces the fruit He is intending to produce. His word does not go out from Him and return to Him void. What He sets out to do, He intends to do, and He accomplishes all that He sets out to do. And if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord is setting out to do a work in your life, and it is to produce the fruit of a faithful, holy, peaceful, and assured life. And so we can sing this psalm, and we should sing this psalm. But if you cannot sing this psalm, then it's time for repentance. It's time to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, show me your loving kindness. Redeem me from my sin, that I can do these things that David is talking about. If you have seen the loving kindness of God before your eyes through the Lord Jesus Christ, then sing this psalm of praise to Him. Bless God in the congregation for His faithfulness and enabling you to walk in truth. To God be the glory. Amen.